Another welcome. Welcome again to Grace Community Church. If you're here for the first time, my name is Des. I'm the lead pastor here. And today we start a six-week new series. And the scene we've set this time is over here. It's a little lounge, living room area. Imagine it's story time. Imagine you're a small child. You'll sit at the feet of a master storyteller. And we're going to go through and listen to some stories that the master storyteller, Jesus, declared. And all too often I have found that when we look at some of the stories that Jesus told, we maybe hear them as children, but we don't really explore them as adults. And we've left them behind. And so these next 6 weeks, we're going to look specifically at some of the parables that Jesus told because they are rich and they are transformative. And they're so going to help all of us in our souls being fully alive. And the six we'll look at, starting with today, we're going to look at the parable of the sower. And then next week, we're going to look at the parable of the 10 virgins. And then the week after, the parable of the talents. And then we'll spend 2 weeks on the parables of the lost sheep, coin, and lost son. And then we'll close out the series with probably one of the most well-known, the lost son being the most well-known, but the second most known parable, which we hear as children. And the problem we don't teach it now is because it's way too personal to our world and our life right now. That's the parable of the Good Samaritan. Because we don't really talk about it because we're very much like the people Jesus didn't want us to be like. But that's the end of the series. So we've called this series, Tell Me a Story. I don't know about you, but all too often, here's some facts, here's some truths. But if someone says, hey, let me tell you a story, we're in. That's why movies are so powerful. That's why storybooks are so powerful in children's lives and moving forward. There is something deeply compelling about a good story. In fact, your God story, your testimony is powerful because it cannot be argued against. It's so real. And so there is something beautiful and captivating and transformative about story. And that's why Jesus used story. He could have just come and just gone, here you are, here's the truth, take it. But he didn't. He knew us deeply. And he knew that there was power in a story. You see, a parable simply means to cast alongside. So here's a truth that Jesus wants to teach. But he casts alongside a parable to say, hey, this is what this is like. The kingdom of heaven is like story. Do you hear what I'm saying? Story. And so today, I'm humbled by the opportunity to tell you a story and to allow the Spirit of God that we've been singing all about and encountering this morning to speak to your very soul. You see, God has something to say to you, like to you this morning, personally to you. He wants to remind you of something or whisper into your ear something. You see, every time we open the Word of God, God speaks. You open your Bible to meet with someone. It's not an instructional manual. That's so dry. It's God's love letter to you. It's something he wants to say to you. And so as I read these words of this story, this parable today, I'm going to dive in with one major application of it. And there's so many places we could go with it. It's unbelievable. So turn to Matthew 13. Be waiting there. Open to Matthew 13. We'll start the whole parable is verse 1 to 23, but we'll start in the middle just because it's a good idea this occasion. So Matthew 13. This parable is also in Luke 8, but we're going to go to the Matthew text. Let me just give a bit of instruction because some of you are really intellectually wired. So let me just stimulate those people right now with this. Here's the beauty of this. Jesus reveals why he talks in parables in a minute, but the Gospels, all four Gospel writers, write from a different perspective. The Lord planted in them something he wanted them to emphasize, and Matthew emphasizes that Jesus is king. He emphasizes that Jesus is Messiah. He is King. That's why he starts with a lineage right at the beginning at the book of Matthew. He starts with this, hey, this is a story of Jesus' lineage because he is King. He is Messiah. And so Matthew puts it that way. And it's a real strong emphasis in the whole Jewish background of people and showing that flow. Matthew goes there and we're in Matthew today. You see, the Old Testament, well, the Torah, which is the first five books of the Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, the Torah or the law, this is what believers would call the Torah. They would say Torah is the way, Torah is the truth, and Torah is life. Where have you heard that before? You see, then Jesus comes in and says, I am the way, and I am the truth, and I am the life. What's he saying? He's saying, this promise from my Father, this truth, this law, I am the fulfillment of it, but I am what it looks like. I am the fulfillment of that. It is now here in the flesh. It's no longer just some words on a scroll. It is true. And Matthew wants us to pick that out. And Matthew now clusters together five parables back to back from, you see it in Matthew 13. He does these five parables back to back to demonstrate that Jesus is Torah in the flesh. The five. He demonstrates this, and each of these parables has this symbolism in it that something is buried and is risen. There is something that goes underneath and then comes out on top. Be it a net going into an ocean, be it a treasure in a field, be it a pearl in a shell, there is something underneath. And in this particular occasion, we've got seeds going in the ground and coming up again. Jesus is revealing, and they didn't even realize it, that true life is going to be found when he is buried and risen. The Bible is so awesome, so loaded. But today, after I've just stimulated some of you intellectually, I'm going to go straight for your soul and your heart, because I believe this is what Jesus' emphasis was in this story. Matthew 13, let me just read verse 10 to 17, and then we'll go to the parable itself, because there's something with the why we need to know. Matthew 13, verse 10, the disciples came to him and asked, why do you speak to the people in parables? He replied, the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you, but not to them. Whoever has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him. This is why I speak to them in parables. Though seeing, they do not see. Though hearing, they do not hear or understand. In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah. You will be ever hearing but never understanding. You will be ever seeing but never perceiving. For this people's heart has become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them. Here's the why he's just revealed. Head, heart, hands. Seeing it, hearing it, understanding it in the heart. Here's the why. What's his purpose? Because his desire is for them to turn and for him to heal them. Says in 1 Peter, God desires that none should perish, but that all would come to repentance, to turn. You see, the heart of Jesus here is not to give a story to condemn people. John 3:16 we know, but what does 17 say? The Son of Man did not come to condemn the world, but to save the world. His heart is that none should perish. His heart is he wants them to turn, and to return to God is to repent. Teshuvah means to repent, to return to God. So he's revealing these stories, and his whole heart and purpose is, guys, my Father God craves for you to turn back to him. The purpose is our very lives being at one with God, turning to him. And so today, as I read this, my desire is for all of us to be reminded that Jesus came to rescue you, to restore you, to redeem you, to save you, to set you free, to heal you. And he wants to talk about the condition of your heart. That's what he's wanting to talk about. So these phrases, see and hear, were about conviction. So today, if you feel a sense of conviction, it's because God loves you. He wants you to go, oh, I'm sorry, Lord, because he loves you. He wants to restore you. He wants your heart to return home. What's the phrase? Home is where the heart is. And he wants the location of our heart to be our rightful home. And when we know that our heart is at home, he then wants to send our spirit on an adventure. So, let's look at it. Matthew 13, verse 1. Are you ready? That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat in it while the people stood on the shore. Talk about master storyteller. Jesus is captivating people when he speaks. So much so, a big crowd gathers. He's like, get some separation, use the acoustics of the water to reach out to the people. I mean, Jesus tells these stories, large crowds gathered, no sound system. I'm still trying to, how did Jesus tell stories? I'm pretty sure it wasn't monotone boring, are you? I'm pretty sure there was something like he would just woo them in and paint pictures and stories. And all of his parables, you see, they see it much more vivid than we do because they were all related to their culture and their time. They were all regular things that they could relate to all the time. Here we go. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on the rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. He who has ears, let him hear. Jump to verse 18. Listen then to what the parable of the sower means. Oh, we're grateful, Jesus, you're going to explain what it means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is the seed sown along the path. Pause. Do you think Jesus is pleased about that? John 10:10, the thief comes to steal and kill and destroy. Jesus is like, I so don't want your heart to be like a path. Verse 20. The one who received the seed that fell on the rocky places is the man who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since he has no root, he lasts only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, he quickly falls away. The one who received the seed that fell among the thorns is the man who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke it, making it unfruitful. But the one who received the seed that fell on the good soil is the man who hears the word and understands it. He produces a crop yielding 100, 60, or 30 times that which was sown. Okay. How many types of seed in this story? One. How many kinds of soil? One. How many locations of the soil? Four. Conditions of that said same soil. Four. And quite clear, because we won't go there to turn to it, but Luke 8:15 even says in this parable context that the good soil represents the heart of a man, a good, a noble, an obedient heart after man, after craving God. It's about the heart of man. So the soil represents the heart, and that's where I'm going to go today. We could have a message on seed, we could have a message on different things, but today I feel compelled to speak into your heart. This is what this is about. The location and the condition of your heart. We could go on a theological track and you're, oh, it's all this and that and the other. Yes, that is true. There's so much more. The scriptures are not flat. Even the Old Testament scriptures, rabbis would go to their students and say, hey, read it once, but it is like a prism. And a prism, like a diamond, when you hold it into the light and turn it, different reflections come off it. You could go to the same scripture you've read a million times and God could reveal, oh, I didn't see that before. Ever happened to you? It's because when you hold it up into the light and the light of God shines and you hold it and you turn it, oh, there's so much more. It's not flat. There's so much going on. And today, one of the things going on here, Jesus is talking to a crowd and he's talking to them about their very hearts. That's what he's talking to them about. So today, let's do a cardiogram on the condition of our heart. And I want us to identify with it, because all too often we look at this parable and we go, oh, there are just some people who just never get it. Yeah, but Jesus, his heart is that their hearts would turn. He's wanting us to say, guys, I so need and desire that the condition of your heart is good soil. That's what I desire the most. So let's have a quick look. So the path, first of all, this represents people who there's no understanding, even a resistant response. We'll say this. This is talking about people whose hearts have hardened. Have you ever been in a season where your heart is just hard? In a room this size, some of you are here today. You're hard-hearted. Maybe you've not always been that way, but you found yourself becoming way more judgmental. You found yourself becoming way more less compassionate. You're becoming very accusatory of situations. You look at the news and you read things and you say, if they only saw it my way, we could fix this. They're wrong. Some of you, you know, you're just slamming people everywhere. Oh, everything. You're angry. You're bitter. You react, and you're hard-hearted. When's the last time you heard the voice of God whisper to you? Oh, he doesn't need to speak to me because I already know what's right. I tell you that again, there's a big mirror right here this morning. I'm just not looking too often. But maybe you found that heart. Maybe even you, God speaks and it goes in one ear and out the other. I just don't want to hear that right now. And you're just on your thing and your heart has gone hard. And here's the problem with a hard heart. What happens is you miss the deal. When Jesus reveals something of himself to you, he wants you to see him. When you don't see him, you cannot hear what he says. He was attacking, in one sense, the religious people here who weren't recognizing who he really was. And because they didn't recognize who he was, they were not prepared to hear what he had to say. They went there with critical ears. Let's hear what he said so we can criticize. Their posture was, And all too often, some of you may be here today, your heart is hard. You don't recall the last time you heard from God, that precious presence of the Lord, that softening of your heart, and that's where you are today. And we'll pray for you later on. The second set is these rocky kind of soil and places, and you receive it, but the soil's so shallow that all of a sudden when the persecutions come and the troubles come, it's choked out of you. Hey, maybe some of you bought into a gospel which was this: come to Jesus and all your troubles disappear. Maybe that's what you signed up for. Maybe it was I just need help. And so, oh, great, I come to Jesus and everything's good. And maybe today God's revealing to you, oh, my gospel is so much deeper than that. See, Jesus said things clearly. If any man should come after me, he should deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. You will have troubles in this world, Jesus said. You will have troubles. Oh, yeah. But take heart. I have overcome the world. There's more to it. There's a richness there. But when troubles come and persecution and it's difficult, it's like, oh, this isn't kind of what I signed up for. You were in it for the follow Jesus when it's good track, rather than I'm all in wherever, whenever, whatever. And in it, that fullness of life. So maybe for some of you, you feel like, yeah, I've never had that fullness. There's no fruit coming in my life. And yes, to be honest, I'm not happy with some of these troubles coming my way. I am getting a little ticked with God. Come on, God, that's not fair. Why me? Do you not realize all that I'm carrying right now? And you get, and it's squeezing you. And it's here. I mean, Jesus is here. The enemy wants to come and snatch. The third set is these thorns that grow in the middle. And these people, here's the deal. It doesn't say that they lose anything. It says that they are simply unfruitful. So you grow, and there's some identity that you're a follower of Jesus because you grow. But because you're among the thorns, it says that they choke. And so it stops you from bearing fruit. So maybe you've got this, yeah, I'm following Jesus. I understand the troubles and the difficulties, but I'm just not bearing fruit. And he says the why. He said, because what's happened is the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of the world and wealth and different things, they become a distraction and they become your priority. And God is no longer first and central, because the worries of this world are all consuming all around you, and you are struggling to bear fruit because those things seem to have you by the throat. And Jesus is saying it doesn't have to be that way, but they have you by the throat. I'll confess, I'm personally in a season right now where I can really associate with that soil. Worries and all kinds of things, all too often for me, are consuming. And it's only because God is so good that I can go, but he is greater. He is greater. But it's just, and it's hard, and it's heavy, and it's stressful, and it's, oh, and I'm like, come on now. Come on now, Des. What's the condition of your heart? And they can creep up, can't they? And they can squeeze you, and you can feel like life is dry and unfruitful. It's because we're allowing all these things that are real, but we've put them above the Lord. And then he talks about the good soil and says, hey, if you're in that situation, you get to reap a harvest that is beyond what you could possibly imagine, 100-fold. Now, well, because of time, we won't go there, but Genesis, the reference is on the screen, Genesis 26:12. There is something in your Bible study that is a really great tool. It's called the principle of the first mention. And that is, when you see something in the scriptures, it's always good to go, when was this first talked about? When was it first mentioned? Because there's something there. There's a seed that it was mentioned. In this particular occasion, about reaping a crop 100-fold, Isaac experienced that in Genesis 26. Because he's obedient to God, and he plants a crop, and the Lord blesses him with 100-fold. That's supernatural. Supernatural blessing. Out of hearing the word of God, God saying, do this, he says, I'm in. There's a blessing to be had. We do have a God who desires to bless his children. Do you believe the Lord wants to bless you? Some of you here struggle with that because you think, I don't deserve blessing. I don't deserve blessing. It's a good job God has what's called amazing grace. True, you don't deserve it. True. You can't earn it. But his love is overwhelming and never ending. and it appears reckless. But he wants to bless you. He wants to bless you. He wants to walk with you and in obedience pour out his blessing. I'm just going to take a little aside here, but it's really important. You see, Jesus is telling a story here to say, hey, what would it look like if your life was planted in good soil? There's something powerful here. At Grace right now is leadership. We are leaning in heavy because we're leaning in heavy into the whole next generational thing. One, because it's biblical, you have to. And two, one of the things is, when you consider the soil, what about, so I'm speaking to all you who are parents right now and grandparents. What is the condition of the soil that your children and grandchildren are planted in? It's parents' responsibility, but it's not parents alone. You see, the scriptures are clear in Psalm 92 that says, where will you thrive? Where do you flourish? Planted in the house of the Lord. That's where you thrive. That's where you flourish. You have to be implanted in the house of the Lord and in God's family and together there. When we've got this Western just nuclear family and we are the sole providers for our children, you miss something biblically. You're meant to be in the family of God, and being planted in the house of God means that your parenting is a team sport. There's so much more enriching that can take place. Where are your children and your grandchildren planted? What is the condition of that soil? And we are investing and intentionally tilling that soil and pouring in great nutrition and watering it and getting it in such a place that your children and grandchildren are going to thrive in the house of the Lord. That is there. And as a result of that, if you're a parent or a grandparent now, then October 1st, 2 weeks from today, at 2 o'clock for 1 hour, there's going to be a meeting for you to come and listen to what the children's ministry is now just started and leaning into. And it's all about this. It's all about you understanding what it does it look like to have a good soil that your children are planted in. The curriculum is one aspect to that. One. But what is that? You see, if you're a parent, you have these basic questions all the time. Whenever you take your children somewhere, question you'll ask them is, hey, what did you do? Isn't it? What did you do? Anywhere in life, what did you do today? What did you do? You want to know what they're doing. So if you're a parent or grandchildren, you should want to know what your children are doing in our children's ministry. If you don't, who are you? Same question is, you want to know, hey, Were your friends there? Did you make friends? You're basically saying, were you lonely or not lonely? Did you have fun? Who was there? What was that like? You want to know that. That community of a next generation is critical. You want your five-year-old to be making friends, planted in the house of the God, because they don't stay five. One day they'll be 15. Then you've got trouble. I joke. But you want them to be planted and nurturing and growing all the way through. And it's critical. And in age-appropriate environments and learning all of that and reaching the same demographic, so, so critical. The third question is you want to know is, was my child cared for? Was somebody looking out for them? Do you want to know that there is somebody looking for the emotional concerns your child is going through? And reading that. You see, children's ministry is not childcare. It's not babysitting. It's way richer than that. Jesus spoke into it. It is critical. And so that day, that is today when you leave on the porch, one of our bistro tables says children's ministry thing on there. It's a sign up. We want you to sign up that you will attend that 1 hour in 2 weeks' time. So we can prepare the right space, the right room, the right refreshments. So you can hear and you can be fully engaged in that. And that's an action for you today. This little children, little girls, little Fraulein's, just, so rich. And do you care? It's just powerful. So, so powerful. So when we look at this parable, we go, there's so much more to this. What is the condition of the soil for the people most precious to me in my life? Not just mine. Life, but their life. All right, moving on real quick. I once read in a book that it said this, the condition of your heart always determines the condition of your whole life. physically, mentally, emotionally, relationally, because out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. Scriptures say, guard your heart, for from it comes the very wellspring of life. Are we tracking here? It's so, so important. It impacts everything in life. So I'm going to do something today that's really, really practical. I had this on my heart to do this, and that is, it's not enough for me to talk to you about this. We need to put it into action today. If you this morning are here and you recognize the Spirit has been trying to speak to you and your heart is hard, you're just like, I'm just not feeling it. I'm not. Your heart has gone hard. Then in a moment, I'm going to pray for you. For some of you right now, you just feel that your walk with Jesus has been a bit shallow, and maybe the troubles of this life, just the troubles, and you feel distant to God, you don't feel fruitful, you don't necessarily hear his voice. And it isn't you've got a hard heart, it's just that I can't seem to, those troubles have just seem to be stealing my joy. I want to pray for you in a moment. For some of you that today, your life does feel like your heart is in rocky places. And things have come up and you feel like you're being choked with worries of this world, with deceitfulness, of distractions, of wealth, of whatever they may be, but they're overtaking you, they're overwhelming you. Maybe it is your classes, guys. Maybe it's your study work and it's just overwhelming you and it's stealing your joy and it's stealing your fruitfulness, and they exist and they're there, but you need to put them in divine order. And so maybe for some of you, that's how you feel right now. I want to pray for you. Those three spaces and places and locations that Jesus was saying, hey, this isn't what I have for you. What I have for you is a hundredfold crop. And that's in good soil. That's what I have for you. Will you surrender, repent? Because he wants you to turn to him. Will you expose your soul to the Lord to say, soften my heart, break me, mold me? This imagery is all through the scriptures. Jeremiah went to a potter's house. We could go so many places about being molded and shaped by the Lord, but you just need to place yourself in his hands to do that. Do you dare believe that the Lord desires for you a hundredfold? A hundredfold abundance in and around your whole life. Do you dare believe that? And so this is what we're going to do. Band, you can come up, just so you're saving time and getting ready. I'm going to go personal with you. And you're going to be honest in the house of the Lord for your soul's sake. And so this morning, if you're here and your heart is hard, the Lord's trying to throw seed into your life and it's just not going in. You've become hard-hearted. And if that's how you're feeling today, then I want to pray for you. But for me to pray for you, you have to confess and reveal, I've become hard-hearted. And so if that is you today, I want you to raise your hand now. Raise your hand if you feel hard-hearted. Feels like God's not penetrating into your very soul anymore. You're not proud of it, but you've become hard-hearted. Just raise your hand. Plenty of you in the room. Keep them raised. Keep them raised. Rest of us, church, let's pray. Those who are hard-hearted, do that. Let's pray. So Lord Jesus, I pray for my brothers and sisters who feel like their hearts have gone hard. And so on behalf of them, we pray this way, Lord. We're sorry. Lord, I repent. I want to return to you. Soften my heart. Break me. Break up my hard-heartedness. Lord, I seek your forgiveness and your grace and your mercy. And may the power of your love break down this hard-heartedness and give me a heart that is no longer of stone but of flesh. In Jesus' name, amen. And now for the people this morning who, it's not that you're hard-hearted, but there's no fruitfulness and the troubles and the, being a Christian is just so hard. And as a result, it's just shallow and you're not getting any deeper and it's shallow and you feel distracted. And it's like, this, I kind of believe it, but it's just no more. It's just shallow. If that is you today, and maybe it used to be deep, but it's gone shallow again. If that is you today, I want you to raise your hand. It's not that you're no compassion and you're hard-hearted. It just seems surface. And I know there's more. Just raise your hands while I'm talking. Those people who feel that your condition of your heart is like one of those rocky places. Thanks. Let's pray again for you people. Just do that right now. So Lord, we come. And I just pray for my brothers and sisters, and on behalf of them we pray. Lord, we want to go deeper. Forgive me for the times when, because life has its difficulties, I run from you or I blame you. Lord, I'm sorry, I repent. I return to you. Lord, come, take me to a deeper place with you. I want to bear fruit, fruit that lasts and is a hundredfold. But Lord, I recognize that I need to constantly look at you and not the troubles. To recognize that you are with me in the storm. And so this day, I say, Lord, I fix my eyes on you in the middle of my troubles. I surrender to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Finally, for that group of people who this morning, the worries of this life, you follow Jesus, there's some growing, but the fruitfulness is difficult because the worries and the deceitfulness of this world and the pressures of life and work and studies and money and all those things feel they're like choking you and busyness and it's all weighing you down. And if that is you this morning, I want you to raise your hand. That's good to know. I'm with you, brothers and sisters. And it sucks. So for all of us who have let those things come in, put your hands like this. Let's pray. So Lord, we come to you this morning and we say we're sorry. We confess that we've allowed those worries and stresses and pressures of this life, the deceitfulness. We have placed things above you, Lord, and we are sorry. You alone are God and you alone are on the throne. We place everything else beneath you, not above you. And Lord, today we repent, we say sorry. We turn to you and we say, oh Lord, may our hearts be planted just like good soil. Lord, pour in your seed that we may reap a harvest 30, 60, 100-fold times. Only because of you. We receive your forgiveness and your grace and your mercy. But we posture ourselves and we say sorry. But we surrender our lives to you. You are so good. And all that you do is good, God. Help us to fix our eyes on you always. In Jesus' name, amen. So we close this morning singing this song, relatively new, All the Poor and Powerless. And the little bridge chorus says that this whole thing of shout it, go on and scream it from the mountains. Go on and tell it to the masses that he is God. And I want you to declare that posture. As you leave today, we have our benevolence offering, as we shared, and parents, grandparents on the porch, you'll see the children. Go sign up for that for 2 weeks' time. Really, really important. And for all of you who this morning, when I prayed for you, those three sections, I want to encourage you now. In this song, if you are in that hard-hearted category and that shallow category, I compel you, during this song, get out of your seats and come down the front to our prayer partners who'll pray into this. Sometimes it takes some breaking up, yeah? That's hard. Sometimes you need somebody else to come along with that big shovel and just break it up and to pray for you and to break that spiritual hold that's on you. So if you've had enough of the hard-hearted and shallow life, get out, come down, and let us pray with you. We have prayer partners who want to see that breakthrough. Sure, you want to, don't you? Or just stay hard-hearted then. So during this song is your time to come out, especially for those two categories. And if you don't even know Jesus, never followed Jesus, grab an orange card and you come out and let us lead you into walking with Jesus. Let us lead you into that salvation moment. Let us lead you to understanding that he came and he lived and he died for you. To set you free, to bring you a life that is full and abundant. Get it? So let's stand. It allows people to get out of their seats. Just to remind as well, parents, as soon as a service leaves, your attitude is to run and get your kids. People have been volunteering there for a few hours. Go get your kids and come back and do fellowship, okay? Don't do fellowship for 30 minutes, then go get your kids. That's just unkind, selfish. So you go get your kids and do that. Are we good? We're good, church? Let's sing this. Let's lean forward for breakthrough. Awesome. Have a great day. See you next week.